Now, before you start defending yourself against the accusation, if you want to hear it as an accusation, I'd rather call it a diagnosis. But before you start defending yourself against this, just give yourself a chance to examine various forms of complaining that we all do. Now, if there ever was a message you ever got from me where you could write me and say, you know, Clay, you just projected all of your stuff onto us. Why don't you just teach us the stuff that applies to us and you deal with your own stuff? Because I'll tell you why. Because I don't know what to tell you except by what I've lived through. Jesus said we testify about what we have seen and what we've experienced. And that's all I can give you. And I'm a loud mouth. When I complain so everybody suffers from it. Some people's complaints are quiet and private, and those can be just as toxic as the loud mouth kind. Although I'll show you here in just a minute that what comes out of our mouth goes right back into our brain, which then goes right back into our heart, which then comes right back out of our mouth. So it's either a vicious cycle or a blessed cycle, depending on whether what's coming out of our mouth is a blessing or cursing. And James tells us that it's obviously not right if the fountain brings forth both good water and poison water. And his implication here is, of course, that that's not possible in the natural. And so why is it that we find that in the spirit of people? So this mixture of poison and good in us has got to be cleansed out and corrected. Now, when you read those stories there in Numbers, and maybe you should stop the machine, or unless you're driving, take some time to just stop and read through those chapters I just listed, and look at the behavior of the people. Now, if you're not careful, when you read those stories, you'll think, "Oh man, God is really angry, and I don't want to tick God off." And you can get these funny pictures in your head of the people just kind of being bumbling and lacking in understanding, and God is angry and impatient. And if you had a parent who stood over you and yelled at you when you're trying to learn how to do your math or whatever, or you had a teacher that did that to you, and you read these chapters, you won't see what really is happening in those chapters. You'll just project onto the reading your own unfair, abused experience. And then you'll project that onto God and start getting ideas about God that aren't right. Because see, Psalm 18 says, to the crooked, God appears crooked. And to the righteous, God is seen for who he is. So when we project our images of God onto him, based on our own woundedness and brokenness, we get a skewed image of God, and then we carry that around inside of us, and it's an idol because it's not the real God. And then we live in the fruit of our idolatry, which is all the negative emotions you can name: insecurity, fear, anxiety, unbelief, doubt, and all the rest of it. So having the right view of God, as A.W. Tozer said, a right view of God is to worship what the foundation is to the temple. If the foundation is crooked, the temple will not rise correctly.